relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom. What do you do when you have visitors from out of town or from out of the country? Well, last weekend we had guests at the Gorka household from the UK, the land of my birth. The hosts of the best podcast outside the United States. It's called Trigonometry, a great name. It's Konstantin Kissin and Francis Foster, and they're here for a couple of weeks. They were on Joe Rogan's show just yesterday, but I decided to do something fun with them. I took them to the gun show, the nation's biggest gun show. Annette, thank you for being such an amazing hostess. And for them to come from a country where basically guns are illegal, you can't even buy a handgun, it was quite the culture shock. And then after that, I said, well, looking at guns, that's not enough. We have to go shoot some. So we went to a private range where a SEAL who had formerly run the BUDS selection course for the SEALs, you know who you are, Force Chief Steve, took these young gentlemen through a basic handgun course, and they acquitted themselves handsomely. And then afterwards, while we're chatting, Chief says to me, you know, there's somebody you should contact, you should connect with, and I'm happy to help you and get him on your show. He's a legend in the national security community. Of course, I'd heard of him, but we are delighted to have Enrique Rick Prado on One-on-One here on America First. Welcome, Mr. Prado.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Thank you for having me on. And Steve may be exaggerating a little bit because he happens to be my best friend. So
that's all right. We trust SEALs. A little bit of embellishment is fine, but anybody who runs the BUDS course is a serious individual. So you have a fascinating background. We'll talk about how you came to America. You've got a book out called Black Ops. Everybody has to check out this book, Black Ops, The Life of a CIA Shadow Warrior, former head of CTC. That's counterterrorism, the counterterrorism center at the CIA. But first, just for those who aren't familiar, who haven't read your book, will you tell us a little bit about your national security career in the shadows?
Yes, sir. I did 24 years at CIA. I started out as a paramilitary officer. I'm a former pararescueman. So I came in through the paramilitary side, Special Activities Division, which is, for lack of a better word, is the Special Operations Forces for CIA. Everybody that's drafted is from what is now called SOCOM. I have 6 overseas tours. I've been a chief of station. I've been a deputy chief of station twice. I am a plank owner of the Bin Laden Task Force, which I started with Mike Scheuer in 1996, January of 1996. When 9/11 happened, I was chief of operations at the Counterterrorist Center. Colford Black was my boss. After those 24 years, I spent another 9 years doing exactly the same thing, mostly for the military side, as a SME, but actually doing the work, not teaching, but actually operating with the team.
I have your detailed curriculum vitae, your resume in front of me, and I just want to just read a couple of things on the record when it comes to your military training, because for a PM, for a former paramilitary at the CIA, it is rather something else. Qualifications for Rick include airborne, scuba, advanced combat medical rescue, SEER, jungle survival, U.S. Air Force elite pararescue, on and on and on. An incredible record. Rick, if I may call you Rick, will you give us a grade? You were there. You're a plank holder. You were there tracing terrorists, finding terrorists. How would you rate America today in terms of its intelligence capabilities? I served for 5.5 years in the DOD as a counterterrorism, as a professor of irregular warfare in CT. And my conclusion after 20 years of the GWAT, and you can rip it apart if you're prepared to because you have the qualifications, is the following. As a nation, as practitioners, whether it's JSOC, SOCOM, whoever it is, America has become preeminent in the find and fix and finish. When it comes to direct action, if you get SEC, DEF, or POTUS presidential sign-off, if we know where you are, we can kill you anywhere in the world within 72 hours. That is how good we are. Other nations dream of our capabilities, although Mossad's pretty good. However, there is a, so we are AA++++ when it comes to the kinetic part of national security and counterterrorism especially. However, I cannot be that generous when it comes to understanding the enemy. And I don't just mean the jihadis, but even there I saw massive weaknesses inside the IC, the intelligence community, in terms of understanding the ideology of the enemy. And today, we don't spend requisite amounts of time on understanding the strategy and the worldview of things like the Iranian Republican Guard or how the Chinese military thinks. So in terms of, you know, steel on target, A+. In terms of getting inside the mind of our enemy, not so hot. Could you give us your grades for how we are as an international national security performer?
Well, you hit it on the spot when it comes to the kinetic aspect of our business. We are second to none. And when I say that, I also include our special operations forces because, again, they've been fighting the GWAT for over 20 years, which people tend to forget. I think that what you are describing, most likely on the knowledge base on our enemy's culture, is not that we don't understand it, is that our leaders do not listen to it.
Yeah.
I know the analysts, the quality of the analysts we have in the agency are scary smart. Guys like Mike Scheuer, who was the one that really discovered who Bin Laden was and what he was up to, and he was right until he was proven right. So, unfortunately, when you have organizations like the agency or even the FBI not being run by people who are internal, political appointees, in my opinion, one of the problems we have is those political appointees that we have at the head of our agency are people that owe their allegiance to whoever put them there. And they will always look through the optic of that politics, and you cannot do operations, especially special operations, through the optic of politics. So I will defend my analysts to the end. I think that they're incredibly well-rounded and in-depth, but the flow up is not always what it should be.
What about the, and you can leave this at the political level or the seventh floor or whatever you want to do, what I saw again and again and again, and I even saw this lower down levels, is this propensity in the intelligence community for mirror imaging, an expectation that, well, if that's how society works in New Jersey, that's how it's going to work in the Hazara regions of Afghanistan. This expectation that if, you know, an Afghan leader or a Syrian leader says, hey, I want to be your buddy, they actually mean they want to be your buddy because here in America, that's what it means. Do you not see a certain weakness in terms of expectations that are unrealistic and based upon American culture?
I see the political decisions made on that almost constantly. And you know, unfortunately, I think that that's one of the American traits.
Yeah.
We actually believe that everybody is like us. And those of us like yourself and myself who have traveled widely and dealt with many, many cultures, we know that what works in one place doesn't work on the other. The way that I recruited somebody for North Korea operations is very different than the terrorists that I recruited in Latin America. One was through, you know, one way and the other. So I think our men and women on the ground understand the culture. But there's been changes in the agency that dilute that. For example, we were always a geographically based organization. That meant that if you came into the EUR division or Africa division or Latin America division, you did 90% of your career in that area, operational area. And that gives you the depth not only in language and the depth in culture, but it also gives you the depth in connectivity to people that you have met throughout the years. So when you become a chief of station, you have that capability. But again, I think that it is an American trait that we tend to see everybody the same. And sometimes we tend to see our enemies as inferior, and that's a deadly sin. The thought that terrorists are camel jockeys, like I've heard people say, is the most asinine thing that you could say. They did fly two planes into our buildings.
It's dangerous to mirror image, and it's very, very dangerous to underestimate. The book is Black Ops. His website is Rick Prado. That's RICPRADO.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you enjoy our one-on-ones as much as we love providing them to you, don't forget, you can subscribe for free. Never, ever miss an episode. Go to your favorite platform like Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Subscribe. Write us a 5-star review. It matters. And share the links with your friends. That's Spotify, Sebastian Gorka, America First. If you haven't done so already, why not register for our Stand With Israel tour 10 days later this year? We're finalizing the details of exactly which sites we will be visiting in Israel. It's massively exciting. We will be going with my Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife Debbie to literally walk where our Lord and Savior walked this planet. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh, the director of 2000 Mules. Israel has dropped all its COVID restrictions. I'm not vaccinated and I'm going. So you've got no excuse. Reserve your place today. Call 855-565-5519 or go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's 855-565-5519, standwithisraeltour.com. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, my buddy, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. The Percal bedsheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now for you, just $39.98 with your listener promo. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percal sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. It's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-829-8468, promo code Gorka, or just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and plug in G-O-R-K-A. That's 1-800-829-8468 or MyPillow.com, code Gorka. Mr. Prado, I don't rehearse my interviews. I don't clear comments or talking points with our guests because that's just not authentic. I did say one thing with you. I said, I want to talk about your professional background first, and then I want to talk about your family, because that's the really interesting thing for me, how you got to be where you are as a station chief, as a man who's a plank holder, you know, of the organizational elements, tracking down bin Laden, hunting the jihadis. But Mr. Prado, you weren't born here, were you?
No, as a matter of fact, Doctor, I am a firm believer that God put my life on the path that he wanted me to follow. But like most things that God gives you, he never gives you something that you cannot handle. And I think that my beginning in Cuba, I was born in Cuba, 1951. I was there when the Castro revolution was going on. I saw at the age of 7, firefights and buddies' bodies getting shot 2 feet in front of my face. So I think that throughout my life, God started stealing me to that end, you know, forging my mettle to that end. As impactful as seeing violence, revolutionary violence, in front of, as a 7-8-year-old, I think what opened my eyes even more was when my father decided to leave Cuba, because everything had gone to, you know, persecution of any opposition parties, liquidations of any former enemies. It was a very brutal, repressive regime, which immediately confiscated every single business in Cuba and made it a national asset, including my dad's small coffee roasting company. And I will tell you, the first time that we went to Havana with the intent of leaving, because we've been there before, I was probably 8 or 9 years old when I saw three men hanging from a tree with signs across their chest that said counter-revolutionaries. That was the level of oppression. So that also marked a particular disdain for communism in my part, because I know that it is a monster hiding behind socialism half the time. But the single most important thing in my life, as far as lessons go, was my father. My father had a seventh grade education, but he was extremely smart, incredible craftsman, and he had a faith that is incomparable with any of us. And imagine, I am an only child.
I find that all the best people are. I happen to be an only child as well.
Well, yeah, but the point here is, though, is that my dad was willing to put me on an airplane to a country that he had never been to.
At what age? How old were you, Rick?
I was 10 years old when I got on that plane.
And what year is this?
This is 1962, April of 1962.
So this is one of the Peter Pan flights?
That is correct. I am a Peter Pan.
So a country your father's never been to before. So why does he put you on that plane, Rick?
Freedom. My dad knew, he had never read Marx or Lenin, but he had definitely had the heart of a lion, and he knew what freedom was. He knew what we needed to fight for. And of course, that fight was won already, you know, to the enemy. But that decision opened up my eyes to the value and the sacrifices made for freedom.
And talk to us about what happened when you arrived here as one of the children on the Peter Pan flights from the 1960s. What was it like to arrive in this country from communist Cuba?
Well, you know, it's amazing, because now that I've had the time, you know, usually as we're going through our careers, introspection is not something we have a lot of luxury to right. to entertain. But now that I've had a little bit of time, I start seeing the different trends there. And I remember so clearly getting into that airport. My last picture of my mom and dad on the other side of the glass of what they call the fishbowl. My mom crying her eyes out and my dad biting his lip not to cry, because I told him, if you guys cry, I ain't leaving. or so my dad tells me. I told him, I don't remember that. But, you know, the funny thing is, once I saw them and I turned around to walk on that plane, I do not recall a single episode. I don't remember walking to the plane. I don't remember where I sat on the plane. I don't remember landing in Miami. My cognitive memory comes in when I come out of the gate and there's a priest there waiting for me. And there was three other kids, two girls and another kid, to take us to a local camp. In our case, was Florida City. I was there for less than 2 weeks, and I was sent to Pueblo, Colorado, Sacred Heart Orphanage in Pueblo, Colorado. And that was again, another culture shock. I'm again traveling by myself at the age of 10. I turned 11 at the orphanage, and, you know, life in an orphanage is not a picnic, especially in a blue collar town like Pueblo, where you had four or five different cultures and ethnicities. So it was a pretty quick way of making me grow up.
I want to ask you next what America means to you. We are talking to Rick Prado, the author of Black Ops, a true legend in the national security world. Allegedly, his nickname is Dragon. I'm going to verify that next. The book is subtitled The Life of a CIA Shadow Warrior. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you want to show your pride for America, there is no easier way than to go to our website, where we have everything you need to tell the world who you are. It's the Seb Gorka Store, sebgorkastore.com. Whether it's your Let's Go Brandon gear, your Ultra MAGA t-shirt, whether it is the I'm a MAGA Man mug, I'm a MAGA Gal mug, or one of our most popular items right now, the Trump 2024 three-peat hat. Everything is made in America, and it is available at sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. SebGorkaStore.com. Rick, is it true? I was reading the reviews of your book on Amazon, and I need to know, is your nickname really Dragon?
Yes, it is. That was actually more my my handle. By the way, Steve was Frog.
Well, of course he's Frog. He's a seal. They're all frogs.
Yeah, but mine has been Dragon since the very beginning.
Was that because of your temper? I need to know, why you call sign Dragon, Rick?
Well, if you ask my wife, she would say it's my temper. But I think it was mostly I've been in the martial arts since I was a young kid. And I guess they associated that, you know, the dragon with the martial arts kind of stuff. I actually don't know where it even started, but it started fairly early on.
All right. I could talk to you for hours. I want everybody to get the book. Seriously, guys, you've got to get the book Black Ops. But let me ask you this, because I'm an immigrant to this country. I chose this country. For me, it truly is the greatest nation on God's green earth. After what you've done, after what you've put yourself through, what your body's been through, after government service in the shadows for so many decades, let me ask you, Enrique Rick Prado, what does this nation, what does America mean to you?
It means my life. It means the life of my family. Most importantly, I honestly believe that it means the life of the rest of the world. I've often prayed that God not forsake the United States, because the day that God forsakes the United States, he's forsaken the world. We're the only guys out there, in spite of our warts, in spite of our shortcomings, who wear the white hat. And for us, I will tell you, the agency has a huge advantage in recruiting over the Russians and the Soviets. I'm sorry, the Russians and the Chinese. Because most people overseas see the U.S. as their only hope. And for me, being a small part of that, paying back for this country, I haven't had a job that wasn't, civil service for 51 years. I'm 71, and I went into the military at the age of 20. So for me, this country means everything. I have given it 51 years of effort, including the book Adventure. But if I am called on to fight tomorrow, I will be there. My family follows suit. Both my boys are military. My daughter is a school principal. So we have a family of service, and we still haven't done enough, as far as I'm concerned.
The dragon is always ready. Mr. Prado, let me get a little bit political, if I may. So in that case, given your passion for this nation that you clearly love and are prepared to fight for and die for, how do you react to things such as a recent commander-in-chief in his first international trip going on a, quote, apology tour, as Obama did? How do you react to what is pretty clearly the wokeification, the politicization of not just the military and our schools, but also the intelligence community? For example, we have the recruiting advertisements from the U.S. Army about a female corporal who has two mothers. We've got the CIA recruiting videos about a gay man who talks about pride in his pronouns and his homosexuality, never mentions service to the nation. And then, of course, we've got everything else that's happening in our schools when it comes to curricula in which America is portrayed as the problem. How worried are you in terms of this distorted, perverted vision of America creeping into not just our schools, but even the national security establishment?
Yeah, I actually think it's even bigger than just our country, but let's put our country always first. It scares the hell out of me because I, as a child in Cuba, subsequently being kind of a street kid that knew the hard sides of life, I learned very early on that the first thing that you have to be is respected, not liked. but respected. And when the United States suffers from weak leadership, and I will bring to point Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was a much more benign president than some, but he was also a very naive man. And look what happened. Immediately, Afghanistan was invaded by Russia. That we lost the Panama Canal, and you know the hostages that Iran took were released the day that Reagan came to power. What does that tell you? It is our posture. When we go overseas and we show that we are who we are and we are proud of what we are, we got nothing to be ashamed of. We have fought three wars, including the 20-some years of GWAT, for not only the United States, but the sake of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, we have nothing to be ashamed of. And as a listener, as a caller called into this show, and it's one of our favorite liners that we use again and again and again, an immigrant who's also served this nation in uniform said, this nation, America, owes me nothing. I owe it everything. And that's why America is unique. The website is rickprado.com. That's RICPRADO, rickprado.com. And the book is Black Ops. Let's put it back up on the screen. National bestseller, The Life of a CIA Shadow Warrior by CIA Counterterrorist Chief of Operations Rick Prado. Let's play the cut.
I don't expect Mr. Putin to acknowledge it. He's going to deny. But for the President of the United States to continue to prevaricate on this issue, I think does a great injustice and a disservice to the men and women of the intelligence law enforcement community, and does a great disservice to the citizens of the United States. And that's why I said it was nothing short of treasonous.
That is a clip that will go down in infamy as far as I am concerned. That is a former CIA director, not long after leaving office, with all of his clearances intact on national television, calling the newly elected president, chosen by 64 million Americans, treasonous, calling President Trump a traitor. That is, of course, John Brennan, who just before he was hired by the CIA in the 1980s, admitted in a polygraph that he had voted for the Communist Party presidential candidate in America. How he was allowed into the CIA beggars belief. But I play that clip because I have a very tough question to ask you, Mr. Prado. I want to ask you, what keeps you, as a former practitioner of decades, you said 51 years of service to the nation, what keeps you most awake at night? Is it, and I'll give you two choices, and if they're not good enough, you can add another one. Is it gentlemen like that, and I use that word very loosely, who are undermining the national interest of the United States from the position of being a former DCI, former Director of Central Intelligence? Is it the internal rot? Is it the internal anti-Americanism that is most bothersome to you? Or is it China or Iran or North Korea or the global jihadi movement? What should we focus on? In the military, you're fully aware we have, you know, the 5-meter target, and we have the target that's, you know, 20 clicks away over the horizon. What for you is the immediate action 5-meter target that most concerns you?
I will tell you that the politics side of it scares me. Like I just said a few minutes ago, when you have weak leadership, you have weak organizations, you have no allies in the world. And under President Trump, whether people like his character or not, and aside of the economics side benefits of his tenure, we were again being respected. You know, and for our agency, being respected overseas as a government is very important, because when we do liaison with our counterparts out there, they're trying to find a common evil. And you get an administration like the current one that pulled out of Afghanistan the way that it did, that message resonates through the whole world that the United States cannot be trusted as a partner fighting evil. So for me, the politics will always reign, because, look, this country will never have a shortage of warriors. Never. I worked for 7 years at Fort Bragg teaching after my second retirement. And I'm in awe of the warriors that we have in our country. But leadership is what we lack. We lack leadership. And for me, as far as focus, Unfortunately, we have to focus on everything. You know, the Cubans only have one enemy, the United States.
Yeah.
The United States has multiple enemies. A lot of people think that we took our eyes off of the Russian and the Chinese phenomena or the Iranian phenomena to fight terrorism. That's not exactly true. The focus, the primary focus was counterterrorism because our operational directives were, first, you have to save people's lives. You know, communism is like a cancer. You know, if you're unlucky to get it, you may be able to beat it, but you have years to do that in treatment. Terrorism is like getting shot. You have to react now or not, you're not going to make it. So, yes, the focus on terrorism was primary, but we still kept, very strong programs against the Russians and against the Chinese. However, all this can be so quickly undermined, and you're seeing it right here, from the strength that we were projecting worldwide to the weakness that we're projecting now. And the fact that how long after this election did Putin decide to attack Ukraine?
Just a few months. It was in February.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yep. And that was my analogy with Carter. Look, we are surrounded by predators. And if they see our leaders as food, they're going to eat us.
Yeah.
And to make a side comment on Mr. Brennan, Mr. Brennan was not our best DCI by a long shot, because he began that polarization of the agency.
And he completely restructured it with these centers inside the agency. He tried, because he was a failed operations guy, he tried to turn analysts into dual-headed operators as well. From talking to my buddies inside the IC, it was a disaster for the CIA.
Yeah. He never made it to the ops chain. He always resented that. He was an analyst. He got his senior grade as a coffee boy up there on the seventh floor. I know him personally, but I judge him by his post agency profession, not as leader or anything like that, using the term loosely. But again, we have to have strong leadership because that flows downhill.
Yeah.
And our warriors deserve that kind of leadership. We all admire individuals that stand up for us. That don't defund the police and demoralize our police, that does this woke, pushes that kind of mentality to our military, which is our only line of defense outside our borders. So
you've made it clear that the political threat is what really, really disturbs you. If we put that to the side for a second, externally, which one is the biggest threat for you of all of our international enemies?
China.
Yeah.
China has an advantage that few other countries have. First of all, they've been an imperial power for 1,000 years, if not more. That's all they understand. That is their goal. They have literally 100-year plans, literally 100-year plans, whereas we in the United States can only afford 3-year plans because on the fourth year, you have to politic for your election. And winning in Congress and winning in the Senate, they don't have that. They don't have a congressional oversight. Their intelligence services have absolutely no restrictions about anything that they can do or will do.
And so, here, as soon as we win an election, we're worried about winning the next election the very next day. And if we're in the private sector, you're thinking about the next quarter. Maybe that's the longest range planning you do. And nations like Iran, like China, plan in centuries. It's a very different way of doing business, and it shows. We're talking to Rick Prado. He is the author of Black Ops. His website is rickprado.com. That's RICPRADO. Don't forget, we are on all social media except the fascistic YouTube. So look for us on Truth Social, on Twitter, on Facebook, Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka, also on Rumble. We live stream on Rumble every single day and all our interviews are up there. That's rumble.com/Seb Gorka, SEBGORKA. Dear friends, this enterprise, America First, does not happen in a vacuum. We do not get funding from the taxpayer, no half a billion dollars for us like NPR. This is a free market enterprise. And if you want to make sure that we keep on doing it, support those that make it possible. Great patriots like Mike Lindell, who has now been banned by Walmart. Yes, his products, his MyPillow products, have been banned. Why? Well, because he's a conservative. Let's show him some love. Let's have his back. Order one of his amazing MyPillows, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. He's got another 150 products at his site, MyPillow.com. Use my name to get up to 66% off. You can call them at 800-829-8468 or just go to MyPillow.com. But you've got to use that magic code, G-O-R-K-A. That's MyPillow.com, code Gorka. Mr. Prado, last question to those who are immigrants who want to come here legally to live the American dream as you have lived it, or to those here in America who are concerned about the politicization of everything and think that America's on the downslope and you can't serve it in government, you can't serve it in uniform. Given your 50 years, what do you say to those people who are disenchanted and have lost heart?
Well, I honestly believe that all you have to do is look at what the immigration into the United States compared to the immigration out to other countries. So if people are so unhappy here, there's a lot of other choices. There's Mexico, there's Venezuela. There's all kinds of great socialist countries that will welcome individuals that don't have a value for what this country really represents. You know, the biggest problem we have in this country is we do not know how good we have it. Yeah. Because the average American does not travel to what our past president called shitholes. They don't understand the contrast between living in even Italy, which is a first world country, to living in the United States.
Yeah, yeah, it's the perspective. When you live in a nation that is the size of a continent, I think the conventional wisdom or the urban legend, I haven't checked it, but I think it's true, George W. Bush hadn't applied for a passport before he became the commander-in-chief. And, you know, if your country's the size of America, maybe you don't need to. But if you've traveled the world like Rick has, like I have, you understand. And if you're an immigrant, you understand it even better. The book is Black Ops. The website is rickprado.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Remember, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, take a lesson from a man like this. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.